2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, well, come on in. It's another edition of KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us. We are on the air every evening here, right here on KSL News Radio. Also, you can find us in the podcast form. If you get bored throughout the day, I don't know why people would find themselves bored these days, Scott, but...
You have an extra few minutes.
So, Scott Mitchell joining me from remote areas of the world, and as so many of you, I've been impressed with our... I want to give a shout-out to our TV colleagues, because they're just floating around. They're putting the anchors everywhere, every which way, and they're making sure that they're absolutely doing the best job that they can from all these different places. And so are all of our radio teams. And so congratulations to all of our engineers who have figured all this stuff out for us to be able to do these things not in the same room. So that being said, Scott?
Yes, thank you very much, because I'm the one not in the same room. Yeah. I'm in a different room. Alex, did you know that this is my favorite day of the year?
Oh,
it's April 1st.
Is it
today,
really?
April Fool's.
Well,
and I love this day. Well, then, I love to pull practical
no,
jokes.
No, you don't.
Oh, my goodness. I so do.
I'm just glad. I'm glad you're not in the same room with me then. All right. So we're going to here's what
well,
we're going
to
do.
I have had to make a promise. I can't do that.
Oh,
today.
See?
Yeah.
That, okay. We're going to hit the start of the show here, as we always do with our 805 cut and an April Fool's themed first part of the program here. So let's do it.
The cut at 805. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Yeah, you know, I mean, look, jokes are good because they get your mind off of things.
Right.
But April Fool's jokes are...
cruel and unusual.
Well,
And I've gone to great lengths in the past.
You have?
Oh, pass off. Yes.
See, that's it. I will say this. Let me just say, it's funny for rich athletes to play pranks on each other because you guys,
no,
man,
no, no.
I get it.
Look, I have a friend who listens to our show all the time. He's in Las Vegas, lives there, and I prank him every April Fool's.
Well,
and
this year's different.
Every year.
This year's different because I woke up this morning. Here's the other thing. Like, we're moving.
Right.
And I thought, okay, I've got this. I'm going to tell the kids. Everything fell through. We're not moving. We're staying at this old house. And I thought, you know what? My kids have gone through quite the last crazy couple of weeks.
Just being your kids is enough for them.
I know. So they're like rolling out like
bad
news.
It's like, oh, my goodness.
And I decided, you know, maybe this year we give it a pass just because feelings, you know, emotions are running high right now.
That was a good choice.
And our bosses did the same thing. So what Scott was explaining beforehand, he's made a commitment not to do the practical jokes, which I'm glad about. He didn't send like a flaming bag of poo for me to stomp out at Broadcast House.
That's not funny.
So
my jokes are they're clever.
Oh, they're well thought out. Okay, yeah. So we get an email from our bosses that say, "Hey, listen, let's go ahead and cancel all of the April Fool's jokes that you may have thought were going to be funny this year. Do not pull any." April Fool's pranks. Now's not the time. And I think there are a lot of people who say, Scott, this is the exact right time to pull pranks so that we can feel a bit better about ourselves. But I think that, you know, the part where you're going over to somebody's desk and touching their stuff or whatever. Here's the other thing is in our office, no one's here. So you could pull a prank and they wouldn't get it until June 3rd. So so maybe
it
wouldn't matter.
Oh, that's from last April. That's funny. That was
I did. So let me – I'm going to have you share an April Fool's joke. But we've also got athletes that have fooled us into thinking that they're good or teams that have fooled us into thinking that they're good. But I will say this. I put this lunch meat in a coworker's bottom file cabinet under some stuff, you know, and I forgot about it, Scott. And it was like a bag of hickory turkey, and I totally forgot about it. And one day he stands up. This is 10 years ago, 15 years ago, maybe almost. He stands up and he just starts cussing up a storm going, "What on earth is that smell? I can't find it." And I'm like, "What is this guy yelling about?" And then I went, "Oh, it's paying off here." And he didn't find it for like a month, and it was this gangrenous green, fuzzy, soupy meat bag that was in his filing cabinet.
That's just me now.
I didn't get in trouble from work just because nobody found out about it. So, Scott, part of the deal on the cut here is we wanted to bring up teams that fooled us into thinking that they were good. And we're going to make some arguments here. And you brought up the first one of the day where you're like, look, this team, I was certain they were going to be the next dynasty. Who was it?
So, 1985, the Chicago Bears really should have been an undefeated team. Never saw a team that was more dominant and just unbelievable defensively. And they really had a lot of charisma just across the team, even offensively. You had Walter Payton and you had Jim McMahon, and you had a great offensive line.
Yeah.
And this just phenomenal defense. And you're just like, there's no way that anyone is going to beat the Chicago Bears for like the next 10 years because they were all young.
Right.
You know, it wasn't like and I just remember watching them win the Super Bowl against the New England Patriots, who were just happy to be in the Super Bowl, had basically lost before the game ever started.
That was my first Super Bowl that I remember, that I actually remember was that 1986 Super Bowl.
It was just amazing. And I just remember thinking after the game was over, this is the next dynasty. This is the next Pittsburgh Steelers. This is the 49ers. This is the dynasty of this era.
Yeah, and at that time it was the biggest victory in Super Bowl history. I mean, they won 46-10, and that was – I remember thinking to myself, even as a young kid, probably hearing my dad say it too, being like, well, that was a massive letdown. The Super Bowl's not supposed to be a 35-point
right.
victory for anybody.
And they were so impressive about just how they handled their business. I mean, all year. I mean, it was just remarkable. And even the game they lost to Miami Dolphins, Jim McMahon didn't even play in the game. And Miami was just super hot,
right.
But it was just a team that just said this team's gonna win another three Super Bowls, you know, maybe who knows, maybe more. And I was just shocked at how quickly that whole organization just disintegrated. And there was never any great love between Buddy Ryan and Mike Ditka.
Mike Ditka,
and,
yeah.
And what happened is these players all thought, you know, I'm the deal. You know, and I want to get paid, and the Chicago
right.
Bears were like, we're not paying anybody
Well, that's what's
anything.
Interesting about having a dynasty nowadays anyway is because now these guys can go off. I mean, Kyle Van Noy has won a couple Super Bowls with the New England Patriots, but his biggest payday comes at the next place that he goes, right, which is where he went to the Dolphins and gets $51 million. So these guys – and I'm all about it, but that's why it's hard to keep a dynasty together. That's why
– But that era, Alex,
yeah,
there was no free agency.
Right,
those
back
players
then was,
were stuck there, and,
right.
and that's why you're just like, you know, the Bears really could have wrapped that whole entire team up, and made a major dynasty, and they just kind of overthought it. They on both sides, you know, the ownership and the player side of it, they just everyone got greedy and thought they were the whole reason why they won, instead of recognizing that collectively as a group. We're just unbeatable, but if we start focusing on ourselves, forget it. And I was just shocked that they just didn't even come close to another Super Bowl again.
You brought up – so I'll bring up a couple. So the biggest bust in the history of the NFL, Ryan Leaf usually comes into that category. But Brian Bosworth, the Boz, that's a guy that – you know, that hurt when he came to the Seahawks, and he was the best player in college football defensively that we'd seen in a long time.
He was a sure bad thing. I mean, even Ryan Leaf, too, Alex. I mean,
yeah, yeah.
A lot
but
of
it's harder
said,
on quarterbacks. Is it?
Well,
but, like, you don't whiff and miss that much on a defensive player because you're like, no, these guys are crazy athletic, but he just – I don't know. The Boz was such a disappointment, but so was Ryan Leaf. I mean, Ryan Leaf is considered the biggest bust, probably because of that, where people just assumed he'd be good.
Yeah, and the Boz was like a marketing machine. I mean, he just had the whole package. You know,
he was a WWF guy in the NFL.
Yes, he really was. I mean, that's a great way to prove it. But really, where he kind of lost all credibility was when he went one-on-one
with Bo.
With Bo Jackson. Oh. And that just the whole mystique of the Boz ended right there.
It was such
they just popped that balloon and off ran Bo Jackson.
Right. It was a tough deal for
You know another one that gets me?
What?
Is the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, it's like for years, the Dallas Cowboys, they're on their way back. This team is more talented than it's ever been. They've got great coaching. They've got Tony Romo, you know, the greatest quarterback ever in the history of the NFL. And I never saw it with Tony Romo. I'm sorry. I didn't think he was that good. And I never did. And he never won in the playoffs. And with all of this hype, I've never seen a team more overhyped than the Dallas Cowboys for years. I mean, for years. I can understand why people do not like the Dallas Cowboys because they have not won a Super Bowl since, like, what, 92? 95?
95,
95
yes.
was the last one.
So that last one was in the Georgia Dome.
And we've been fooled.
Yeah. We've been fooled every year.
We've been fooled into thinking that this team is just, they're a Super Bowl contender every year.
And I think that it's not a bad deal, like, in the sense that they've delivered on being, you know, this team that everybody likes to watch still. And I don't think they're like the Knicks. Like, the Knicks are a team that everybody assumes is supposed to be good every year, and they trick you into thinking that this is the place to be, and they ended up being terrible.
It should
be
the place to be, Alex.
The Cowboys are disappointing in a different way, that they're, like, either 500 or just above it. And so you're like, everyone thinks that they're one player away.
They're not a doormat.
Right. But it's almost worse because everyone feels like they're one player away, and they never are. They're always like, it's still one more player away. All right, we're going to take the break.
Whole organization away.
We're going to take the break here. We'll come back. We've got more to go on KSL's Unrivaled. Stay with us on an April Fool's edition of KSL's Unrivaled. All right, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery. Scott Mitchell.
Thanks where did that music come from?
His name is Notorious B.I.G.
Oh, I don't know if you're yes.
Bad
I
Boy
him.
Records.
Love him.
Yeah. Love him. Love his work. Think he does a great job on the old turntables. I don't know. It's in the library here. I don't know what to tell you.
Okay.
The song's called Hypnotize. All right. But yeah, it's a Biggie Smalls. It's a Biggie Smalls record. All right. So we were just talking about April Fool's, some April Fool's guys who fooled us into thinking that they're good.
Yes.
And then ended up not. Or organizations. John Daly's one of those guys that had promise.
Oh, man.
Started off real young. And was just a raw talent guy. And just raw talent guy.
Oh,
I mean, this is a guy who played, on his home course, he would play barefoot with a cigarette in one hand and a Diet Coke, you know, in the other. And he'd hit clubs like one-armed, you know, and just like, he's just knocking them down, man. Like, so.
Do you know how many golf courses I've been to where they go, yeah, this was the hole that John Daly drove the green on. Yeah,
those tee boxes, I don't think people understand this. PGA Tour tee boxes aren't the ones that are the blacks that are at your course. They back them up even more. Like, they have to adjust on these courses for these players to play these long holes so that they don't drive every hole. So that's with that in that's with accounted for. You know, every time I go see the Utah Open down at Riverside, I'm always amazed that I'm like, yeah, this is where they put the tee box for these guys who aren't even like the top of the game. You know, these are guys who are but still hitting at 310, 320. So insane. The guy was amazing, and then he, you know, became the John Daly that now we all
the
know,
trainer.
Which is still the guy with the cigarette and the Diet Coke and the.
His bare feet.
And the no shoes on. Scott, I want to go for this for our 1-800 Got Junk trash talk segment here. 1-800 Got Junk. They make junk disappear. And here's what the deal is. I want to give a shout out to teams that have had strike shortened or shortened seasons in general. And we could have seen amazing teams do amazing things, but they were shortened. And this year is going to be no different. I've read a couple tragic stories about, you know, athletes that were going to be able to accomplish crazy things at the end of this year, and they're not going to be able to. Think of the Olympics lost this year, right? Next year, you're actually going to get a different set of athletes. I mean, it's not going to be totally the same group that you would have gotten this year. There are people whose window closes, and they're not going to be able to do it anymore. And I think about teams, and I think about like the Montreal Expos from the 94-95 baseball season. This was a team that was unbelievable. And we have, but you don't remember them, right? I mean, most people are like, I didn't even know the Montreal Expos were a baseball team. This
actually, when you said it earlier, when we talked about
you're
this,
like, are they still around?
I was like, okay, I'll go with you on this one. I didn't know about this.
They were, listen, this was Pedro Martinez, Vlad Guerrero, Larry Walker. I mean, they were unbelievable, and they were on pace to win 110 games, and they were the absolute favorite in the National League to win the World Series. And then the strike happens, and the season's over. Scott, you as a professional athlete, you know what it's like to be really good and not be able to, and not just go, oh, well, we'll do it again next year, because that is so hard to try to bottle that up.
Well, it's hard because you're in such a rhythm, too. And there's this kind of just this way, this flow that you're in. And when that kind of changes, you know, I think of the Super Bowl where the lights went out in the Superdome.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The 49ers played.
And the Ravens, yeah.
And the Ravens were just – they were just rolling. You know, this just didn't even – this didn't even look like a close game. And then literally it was like – there was a, you know, an hour long halftime, and then you have to just restart again, and it's just so hard to have the same type of urgency or the same type of flow or just rhythm when it gets cut short. And in your mind, you're so much like, you just get in such a flow that you just, it's just so hard to just kind of you spend all your focus on trying to find where you were again, instead of just going out and just kind of playing. It's a weird thing that happens. You think of in small doses of this when coaches call timeout to ice the kicker or the free throw shooter or something, to where it just gives people too much time to start thinking about something other than, hey, just focus and live in this moment right here.
Well,
and
Bucks
it happens
right
all
now.
The time.
The Bucks right now. I mean, this is one of the teams, and this is likely the favorite in the NBA. If the NBA kicks off the rest of its season, the Bucks, maybe they go back to being the amazing team that they were. But if the season is over, good luck trying to get back the fact that you were probably the team that was going to be at least in the NBA Finals and the favorite to win it. I mean, it's the Milwaukee Bucks, too. You have a really small window when you're in these middle markets where you're going, yeah, we've just got to make a championship team for a small amount of time and figure it out before Giannis gets yanked out of the market, before Chris Middleton gets shipped off somewhere else, before you're not going to be able to keep this whole team together. And that's why I feel bad for these guys, because they start off these years, they have a plan, and I'm sure in a lot of their minds they're going, oh, no, we're going to come back next year and do it. But it's like the 85 Bears conversation you were having earlier. There's no guarantee you're going to get back. In fact, all the teams that are around you are going to get better, and they're going to figure you out.
Yeah, and you know, you see it in football a lot, too, when you have these strike-shortened seasons. And I, you know, the one that really kind of jumped out at me was the one where in 1987, where the Washington Redskins, they were really not that good a team. And it was kind of a reverse, you know, where you were like, this was a team that no one actually expected to win. And they went out and they actually won because they were able to kind of keep their composure in those strike-shortened seasons. The Dallas Cowboys that year were a great team, and they actually had all their players stay. They were a Super Bowl contender, and they actually played the scrubs from the Washington Redskins, and it was the last game of the strike, and the next week the regular season was gonna continue, and they actually counted strike games in the actual total. And the Washington Redskins were one of the few teams that actually were able to take advantage of this, and they did it with a bunch of scabs, right? That's what the players were called.
So in 87, so like the year that the Spurs win a shortened season championship, or the 87 Super Bowl championship with the Redskins, are those full on world titles?
In my mind, absolutely. look, Alex, I don't care what I wouldn't put anything like an asterisk. I wouldn't say, well, yeah, but I would just say I was a world champion, and that's it. End of story.
I heard they only give you like a half of a Super Bowl ring.
I don't care what half they give me. Just give me a half. I'll take it. And I guarantee you there's not a personal life. In fact, there was a huge controversy over the Redskins. They didn't give the Scab players Super Bowl rings.
Oh, they didn't?
No. And then they finally, it was like 30 years later, they finally said, you know what, we'll do the right thing, and they all got a Super Bowl
ring. Oh, good. Jeez. It's terrible. All right.
Small little note there.
Yeah.
Craig McEwen, who played at Utah, was one of the Scabs.
Oh, and he got,
actually started his NFL career, and he played a long time in
that's
the NFL.
That's awesome. So. That's the best developmental league I've ever heard of, the actual NFL.
Go figure.
We're going to take the break here. We'll come back. News, traffic, and weather right now. We'll come back around the corner. We've got more to talk about. Stay with us here on April Fool's Day edition of KSL's Unrivaled.
KSL's Unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us. Former NFL QB Scott Mitchell, always with the insight of a former professional athlete. We appreciate that.
You're
Scott,
welcome.
Doing okay today, buddy?
Doing great today. Always happy to be here.
Yeah. Have you touched your face today?
I'm sure I have.
It's a big no-no.
I know it's a no-no.
Yeah, wash those hands. And
you
I
know
that,
my challenge is? It's
what?
Called allergies and
oh,
my eyes.
Oh, boy.
It's a tough one.
We got to get you some.
I have some, and it works.
Okay. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Thanks for being with us. And as we get through our April Fool's Day edition of KSL's Unrivaled, by the way, any of the show segments you can find on podcast form, go back and listen to some of the shows as well. We've had a great time during all of this slowdown with doing interviews with coaches, things like that, and players and teams. They got a lot of time on the hands. I don't know if you know that, Scott. I mean, you've got a lot of time on your hands, but boy, they do too. So here we are talking more about how important sports are right now. And Mark Cuban, at the very beginning of all this, Scott, you remember the first night when Rudy Gobert tested positive for COVID-19 and they shut down the Thunder Jazz game for that night, and the entire world of sports and the entire world as we knew it turned upside down that moment. And that night the Mavericks were supposed to tip off as well. And Mark Cuban took the podium after, you know, their game. And you remember listening to that, and I remember hearing him talking about, look, number one thing is getting everybody healthy, making sure I've got kids, I've got Grant, I've got my mom that I'm trying to figure out and make sure that she's safe and she's healthy. And he was like a really good voice that first night. We've got more audio from Mark Cuban now about when, and he, of course, he's one of the more vocal owners in the league. But here's what he has to say, a few things, and we'll just react to what he said about the return of the NBA, because everybody's anxious for everything to come back, and I think that sports are going to sort of they're going to symbolize some sort of normalcy, I think. And here's what he has to say about when the NBA could return.
I have no idea. I mean, the only thing I know is that we're going to put safety first, and we're not going to take any chances. We're not going to do anything that risks the health or safety of our players, our fans, our staff, the whole organization. So right now, I really don't have anything new to say.
I think he's taking the right stance, Scott, because he kind of went on to say, like, I'm sure it's fun to ask me about it. People kind of look at him as the smartest guy in the room, as the billionaire, you know, in the room. But when he says, look, let's figure it out and have the experts tell us when to come back, that's the best time to come back.
Yeah, I think the thing with Mark Cuban is he's a guy that's very opinionated in the past. He's said a lot of controversial things. He kind of
People are waiting for him to be bombastic, right, but he's like being super conservative.
Goes to the beat of his own drum and just that whole thing. And so I think people are like, you know, he would be the guy that'd say, you know, forget all this stuff. Let's go full speed ahead and forget about being sick. You know, he's kind of this forward thinking guy. And I have to say from my perspective with him, I've been very impressed with his demeanor, with his thought process through all of this. I think he's shown underneath, you know, the guy who said our strategy now is to tank. You know, he's like, we're going to tank on purpose kind of guy. He's actually shown a lot of wisdom, a lot of sound thinking, and you start to go, oh, okay, that's probably why this guy is where he is. You know, that he's actually underneath his kind of unique personality. He's been a guy there's sound thinking and logic behind everything he does.
So here's what he had to say also about just the state of sports and just what that mean, what it means to America to have sports to for us to be able to watch and participate in?
As long as the scientists bless it, absolutely. I'm game for anything that is safe, you know. And there may be circumstances where we can make it more safe for, you know, players and their families and the people who have essential personnel from an NBA perspective that have to be there. Why not? I would be all for it. Again, I'm not speaking for the NBA. I'm just saying, again, my underlying principle is sports are great for America. And if, when we start to go from America 1.0, from where we've been, to coming out of this in America 2.0, I think it's a great opportunity, and it's a responsibility of the NBA to lead the way.
That's courtesy of ESPN, that audio from Mark Cuban weighing in on something I think we all kind of – I think that him saying it, it's something that we've known this whole time, Scott, is that, that we need sports. And the reality is that this has kind of brought that more into focus, that we need a distraction. And in a moment where we need the distraction the most, the hard thing has been we haven't had the distraction.
You know what's mind-boggling to me about all of this?
What?
About how just our entire society and how sports fits into it, how we all function today is I'm absolutely, I don't know if appalled at all of this, but just like beyond shocked that you can't tell me that some bat virus in China, we didn't have a better solution for it, because I don't believe anyone knows. I don't believe Mark Cuban knows. I don't believe you or I know. We don't know what things are going to be like when this is over. We don't know when it's going to be over. We don't know what we're going through, what we're in for. I don't even know if we're even to the point where we're in it yet. It just feels like everyone is in this, let's just kind of figure this out as we go mode. And there aren't people proactively going out in front of all of this and saying, this is where we need to be right now. I can't get over, Alex. Every day I think about this. How we're so wrapped up in toilet paper. I mean, it's toilet paper. It's the most insane thing for us to get involved in. And it's like, I just think, and this is
here
just
here comes.
Me.
Here comes old Scott. Hold on, put on your – whatever. Did you put your tinfoil hat on yet?
I don't care. No. I'm just going to say, I think as a human race, we have a lot of common sense, and we have a lot of ability to figure things out. And to do the right thing. And so
I just love that you're like, look, some bat virus in China.
Whatever. I just think that we're smarter than this. And I just look at 9/11. We just got caught with our pants down. We really did. No one worked together. No one. And there was a lot of, oh, my goodness, moments that came out of that. And right. I believe this is the same thing, that we are not prepared for stuff like this. And I think the best thing for us moving forward as people, as individuals, people in sports, people in all sectors of our community, we need to have better plans in place. And I think so many people are focused on what's in it for me right now. How can I get the most out of this? Instead of saying, let's look at this from a long term. How can we plan and prepare for all the different types of contingencies that might happen in the future? And so we can still function as a society, and we're not just like shut down and shut in, and right. That's the best solution we have.
So part of the discussion, part of all this has also been just everyone wants to know, like, so when do you think the date is that they're going to actually start playing? And obviously no one knows the answer to that. Here's what he had to say.
All the experts have got to say it'll be absolutely safe. We cannot put anything ahead of the health and safety of our players and staff. That's it. And it's such a moving target, and nobody really has specifics. So I mean, I haven't had any conversations where anybody's even discussed an actual date at this point.
Yeah, there's no reason to. Yeah, yeah.
You know, really, I mean, to my point. And I think we're better off down the road.
We can't let our desperation for wanting to have wanting to see a couple NBA games back on the old screen for us to be, you know, putting people back at risk again.
No, I'm not saying that either, Alex. I agree with him. You know, we got to be safe and smart about how things are now.
And I'm okay with it. Look, just go. When you do bring it back, do it without fans for a minute.
Yep.
You know, the reality is that do it without fans for the rest of the season. Look, if that's the best way to do it, that's the best way to do it. But I agree with the fact, too, that America needs sports. It's not just sports. I mean, there's a lot of things we need. But a lot of it means going out and doing stuff. And if players can get cleared, if they can operate this thing by putting it on TV and we can enjoy watching it at home, I'm telling you, the first real professional sporting event of the big four that goes on TV between the NHL, NBA, you know, the NFL, you think about even Major League Baseball, any of those things that actually go on TV and we watch, they're going to be the biggest winner. They're going to be the absolute biggest winner. And that's what's crazy to me is that, you know, we look at
– it's almost like the race to the moon.
Yeah,
you know, back in the
please,
day, whatever country
we're going to be first, we've got
to be the first one.
We've got to absolutely have to be first, you know, and all this. All right, we're going to take the break here. We've got more to go. Stay with us. We got our buy or sell segment coming up next right here on KSL News Radio. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery and Scott Mitchell, final segment of our show this evening. Thanks for being with us. And Scott Mitchell from Parts Unknown and me holding down the fort here at KSL Broadcast House. So, Scott, this music starting things off here means it's our last segment of the evening, and it's our buy or sell, which is brought to you by the Online Trading Academy. Register now for a free 3-hour workshop at tradingacademy.com. That's tradingacademy.com. Explain to the folks who are listening along why we do the buy or sell segment in terms of what does it mean and when the best time is to buy things versus selling them off.
Well, thank you for asking, Alex. I'll be happy to explain to folks at home what's happening here. You know, in our world, we have opportunities. Buying into a business or a company, you know, like Apple. And we
all of Scott's suggestions are not are not registered and cannot be used in California, Puerto Rico, or Canada.
Yes, and parts of Idaho.
Ask your financial advisor for real advice, not from this knucklehead.
Anyways, so you decide, you know, yeah, I like this, or it's a good opportunity, or it's a bad opportunity. So you buy certain things, you sell certain things.
Okay.
We look at sports the same way. Are there opportunities in sports? And so we're either going to buy or sell certain sports opportunities that we like or dislike.
So, do you buy April Fool's, Scott, as a thing in 2020? Or is this or should we, what?
Well, okay, April Fool's is the long play, right?
Okay.
You're buying April Fool's over the long haul.
Yeah.
It's probably something this year we're going to sell.
You're going to take a hit on. You're going to take a hit on.
Sorry about that.
Well, no, you could
and
own
the reason,
it.
Because, and this is hard for me because I love April Fool's.
Yeah.
I love that there's a day that I can be deceitful and
so
I can
dumb.
Lie and I can just kind of do terrible, rotten things, and it's okay.
I got to be an adult, and I've, like, totally turned full old man. Like, April Fool's is not good. I don't like messing around.
Are
I don't like
serious?
People playing around.
Oh, I love April Fool's.
And I'm, like, the jokester guy, but I don't.
Yeah,
I'm not a fan of. I'm not a fan of April Fool's.
Yeah.
Because I, you know what? I mean, I'm a pretty, I'm a naive dude. Like,
that's good to know.
I just assume that people have good intentions. So when you come to me with something, I don't want to start looking sideways at people.
Can I give you a confession?
I'm
not going to.
You sent poop to my house with a flaming bag.
No.
What? You have to now.
I can't.
You have to. Our listener, you're not messing with me. You're messing with the listener now.
How do you know I'm not messing with you?
I'm just saying, not telling me means you're not telling the listener.
Nah, there's nothing.
Okay. All right. Let me see, Scott, what about watching reality TV like it's sports? Top Chef, the MTV challenges. I even saw on ESPN, they had put up on their streaming services professional pickleball with no one in the stands, just two guys hitting a plastic ball back and forth.
I'm kind of a sucker for reality TV.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I've been on reality TV. And I've cried on reality TV. And it was very real in the moment. I'm going to say buy this because right now we're desperate. Like we'll
really
watch
bad.
Anything, we'll look at anything. So yeah, buy reality TV.
What about this? I'm gonna play something for you real quick, and it is an idea that is really stupid, but maybe you buy it. This is Jay Williams' idea for the NBA playoffs. Take a listen.
I think if the NBA, if you are trying to find a way, if this happens in May or June, if we're still not in that great, great place, but maybe we're in a better place. Maybe if you can take two of those massive cruise ships and there's testings before everybody goes on the ship, you allow the player and their immediate family, being that wife or their kids, are allowed to go with them. And you have an Eastern Conference cruise ship and you have a Western Conference cruise ship. Obviously, everything is sterilized all the time. You have the media companies that are able to drop their equipment in.
Okay.
You never really go too short.
So, idea from Jay Williams of doing the cruise ship playoffs for the NBA. Scott, you buying it?
Oh, you know what? I'm going to buy it from the standpoint of thinking outside the box.
Yeah, sure.
You know, any way to try to get sports back on and do it in a safe way. Absolutely.
He's bringing up a safe way for us to get through coronavirus, but using cruise ships, which are by nature,
they're a cesspool.
The worst places to hold anything. Right. Before you get them on this floating petri dish, you test them. It's like, no, we're not doing it. And look, Scott, the whole problem is the where he really went wrong was trying to suggest that their families can go on board with them too. It's like, no, this is not. We're not doing this. And like media companies doing a drop of their stuff onto the ship. I thought that was pretty fun.
It's just hard to control it because you have to have food and you have to have services and things come. You know, if you got everyone, I think there's the ability to get everyone on the ship and be safe because people come from all over the world, all over different parts of the country, and you stick them all on this ship. And so they're in such close proximity to one another. It's almost a guarantee people are going to catch something, whatever it is, even under normal circumstances. And so being able to kind of, if you could sterilize a ship, which I think would be really impossible to do, then yeah, it might work.
You but said you love cruises. Are you going to love cruises after this?
Yeah, I think I'm, no.
You think you're done with them?
Yeah, it's kind of been it's something that's waned in my excitement.
I'm not, like,
years.
I've been on one cruise. It was a 10-day cruise. It was awesome. It was to the Baltic Sea. Amazing. Scandinavia, amazing. I will never go on a cruise ship, I don't think, ever again.
Yeah, probably with you.
Until somebody rolls up and goes, hey, we'd like to pay you to go on this cruise. And I'm like, I'm in. I'm going. We're going on the cruise. Scott, Antonio Brown has been working out with Lamar Jackson. Do you buy or sell Antonio Brown going to the Baltimore Ravens, one of your former employers?
I do buy this, and I buy it simply for the purpose of Jackson to Brown.
Jackson Brown.
For the Ravens. And that's the only reason.
No, it's nothing else.
Nothing else.
Nothing
other
else.
Than, just Jackson Brown.
The name combo.
Yep, the name combo. I love those when they work out like that.
It's just such a weird thing because Antonio Brown, we know he's a crazy person. We know that as a commodity, he is absolutely too hot to handle in many cases.
Yes, no question about it. But this the name combo just works for me.
It's not just the name combo. Baltimore seems like a place where you can, pardon the expression because it seems applicable, get away with murder. And you could be able to be a part of this team and really make it work. Like if Antonio Brown finds a situation, at some point he's going to be desperate enough to go and actually like mind his P's and Q's with the team. And I think John Harbaugh is a great coach to have there because you have an organization that will say, if you're really good, we want you, but you got to live by the rules here a little bit. And I think that he's going to come around and do it.
Yeah, I think Baltimore is, like you said, a weird place, and you have Edgar Allan Poe and the whole kind of weird thing going on, and maybe Antonio
the
Brown
soft-shell
is
crabs.
Well, he's normal in that situation, maybe. I don't know.
All right. We're going to move right along here into another day. So happy April Fool's. Thanks for being with us. If you missed any of the portions of the program that we had tonight, if you missed any of our interviews over the last few days, you can go back and download the podcast. Just go to KSLSports.com, click on the podcast button, download it. You can hear Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery every day right there from the comfort of your own home. Stay home, stay safe. For Scott, I'm Alex. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.